Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today we're back. John Koppel, Mark Riccadonna. What?
Yeah.
Marquet
yeah.
is not with us at the moment, but he's still alive. I made it that sound yeah, really dark. He's no longer with us.
He's gone.
After those remarks from the last one.
That were like, nothing was whatever, bad.
Erase the last podcast. We cannot have any proof.
There's a part of me that wishes we could erase the last podcast.
You didn't say anything crazy.
That's true.
What did you say? Because we talked about porn and the fact that you're into really weird shit like anal rape scenes, you fucker. He didn't say that
for
at
anyone
all.
That missed the last podcast. That's what you missed.
Remember all the
that
crazy
was
shit?
A fib. That one was a fib.
No, Mark, don't you remember all the other crazy shit John said?
Yes.
Like, this is my new chance at improv.
She's winking out of her left eye.
Do you remember what else he said? John said something about being sexually attracted to elephants and wishing he could have their semen all in his hair because he feels like it would also really help condition it.
Well, that's true. That part is true. Honestly, my hair could use some work, and I'm just desperate at this point.
No, it looks good.
Oh, thank
looks
you.
Looks like you've been using your elephant semen shampoo.
Well, I have.
Yeah. See, you didn't say anything bad in the last one. This you is going to be the one.
This is where I go off the...
This is where I'm going to push you over the edge.
It's almost as if I've been just ripping shots of tequila before this one.
Yeah, we are doing a little
news,
bit of drinking.
He's being honest.
That's right. I've been honest the whole time. I was honest in the last one when I made the remark about having the perfect penis. I'm being honest now with the tequila.
John, like, the perfect penis couple.
I feel like the perfect penis would be like an infomercial at like 3 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, order your perfect penis. Just dial 1-800-555.
But what is the product, Mark?
My name's John Koppel. I have a perfect penis. You might not. But the good news is
one
we've got
thing,
a solution.
One thing I've heard throughout my life and career is, boy, John, you have a perfect penis. So I decided it's time to allow the public to witness what that's like.
I'm going to be uploading a picture of John's penis to the Invasion of Privacy Facebook fan page. Please check in.
That is the irony of life, that if I did have the perfect penis, I'd have a weird-ass voice like that, too. But it's a great radio voice.
Yeah,
I guess that
true.
Would be like doubly blessed. Yeah. As it is, I have, you know... Almost
a mediocre penis.
No, I've got like an A minus penis.
John, the mediocre dick.
Mediocre.
You have an A. Would you call it an A minus?
It's an A minus dick. Like, honestly,
that's a fair rating. I
you're
guess.
Saying that's a mediocre manhood.
Oh no! It's way better than
I've got an A plus pussy. Listen, A+. I felt like I was about to rap there. I got an A plus pussy, but I don't feel like rapping right now.
It's a good opening line, though.
It is. Yeah.
You should try it at a bar. Walk up to a guy and just go, I got an A+ pussy, motherfucker. Yeah.
Because otherwise, you
I don't
might
think that's going to end well.
You might not be able to score bar dick otherwise.
I'm not trying to score bar dick, motherfuckers.
I love that there's a name for that, bar dick. I never knew that.
By the way, everyone, I'm on a floor right now, and these two are in chairs, which felt like a good idea at first, but now I feel like really mini.
You were all about, like, I'm going to go on the farm. Like, good luck.
It is comfy. I might get a chair in a bit, but it was
we told her
for
we were
minute.
More comfortable with her on the floor. So.
They hate women, so they wanted me lower than them.
Yes.
There are plenty of chairs in here, but we were like, sorry, Kate.
No, those are for men.
Those are man chairs.
Those chairs are for men, and they're and animals.
And they're dicks.
They're allowed to put dogs on the chairs or kitty cats, no women.
But not women.
You're lucky you're indoors.
this is already a win for you.
We usually put our women in cages out back.
So welcome to Invasion of Privacy, where we talk about our dicks and women's rights. The Me Too movement.
We're advocates, by the way.
We are advocates. Well, Me Too, I think the heart of Me Too should be anyone speaking their truth. Like, I'm serious, though, right? Like,
it shouldn't just
it's like, me too. Like, everyone has a story. Yeah. Let me tell you how I've been hurt.
Are you all lives mattering, the Me Too movement?
Oh, God. Well, when you say it like that, that sounds horrific.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm not an all lives matter. Like, by obviously, way, all should, lives matter.
It's only because only John wants here. A black Me Too. John wants a black Me Too.
But that's the Black Lives Matter. Listen. I am...
John's going to get serious. Tell us, John.
I'm going to get really serious.
He's going to start to cry.
I'm just saying it's about time for men. Your time is up. Time's up.
Time's up.
Women, we've been thriving
for
too long.
Of course it would take a man to come up with a good slogan for the women.
No, but you know what I'm saying about the Me Too shit? Men have been sexually abused too, so I feel like I want to hear men speaking up about their shit.
Do you know what's
crazy? By other men. The theme is men.
So... The other podcast,
male predators.
There are a lot of female predators out there.
Yes,
that sexually do shit to people.
I want to come right
John.
Back to this. I want to come right back.
Wake up, John.
Yeah, time's up, bud. Bring, bring.
So
I'm not good at sound effects. Sorry, Mark.
The other podcasts I do, Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. We had. Do you guys know Pete?
You trying to make us jealous?
Well, look, you're not the only game in town. I've been
welcome to Ambler Bitch.
I've been speaking in other microphones all over.
How dare you be funny with other people?
Well, this was not funny.
Uh-oh.
Pete, do you know Pete Dominic?
Yeah.
He's a great comedian, political activist, great guy. I love him to death. He all of a sudden out of nowhere on the podcast just turned, and do you know Richie Byrne?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turns to Richie Byrne and I and goes, tell me about if you have ever had a gay encounter, gay sexual encounter.
Have you?
I have not. I
John,
actually,
get in on that.
Have I ever had a gay encounter?
No, I meant like kiss Mark.
A moment where it was like you were maybe made uncomfortable in front of him.
Oh.
I've had moments where in hindsight it felt like, did we get a little bit too close there? Like in adolescence when it was always any opportunity to whack off would be taken.
Oh, there were some.
Wow. Where there were some suspect moments in hindsight.
No, I love this shit though. So there were some like middle and high school parties. And I remember some being at your place.
In Diane Koppel's basement.
But
Donna.
It's not even... It's
Donna?
Not,
was it Donna? Oh,
it's really good.
I was close.
Yeah, it's
that
really
was,
good.
But it wasn't even like gay, not gay. It was like openly sexual. Like I remember one of our friends, I looked over and the blanket was moving up and down. Like he just had his dick out jerking off.
Care.
You know what I'm talking about right now, right?
I'm not sure I do, but
I won't say
it.
His name. No. But like there were just some parties where people were... Getting
wow.
openly sexual.
Maybe I grew up in like a time warp. Like I grew up in like Leave It to Beaver land.
Really?
That's kind of weird to say that because what Kate just described is weird. It's strange that happened and I've been involved in that type of
thing.
We
had like
a few
one
times.
Kid in our class who would do stuff that was like where he would like whip his dick out and do something, but it was always like to be funny. There was never like a sexual vibe to it. So it was like...
There were some parties where people were getting down openly around each other. Like, it never became, like, at least what I saw, it wasn't, like, group sexish. Like, it wasn't, like, everyone touching everyone. But, like, there were some, especially in middle school, like, make out.
There was that, like, what...
Reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline.
Bum, bum, bum.
Good times never been at a junior high school party.
So good. No, you would have fit right in just jamming out. I feel like that was an 8th through 10th grade type of deal.
Absolutely.
Where it's just like, I got a girlfriend.
Even in 7th.
Half the point of this is I'm going to make out in front of everybody else.
Everyone was just, if there was like a basement party, because we were all trying to escape our parents to like... Do some dry humping, you know? So, like,
wow, man.
I've been to some.
In such a more progressive.
And our school
was
wasn't
very...
even like, we had goody two shoes and stuff, but man, I just remember parties where everyone, like, with their paired off person were just going at it. But it was like,
It was pretty eclectic in terms of kids that came from backgrounds where they weren't watched whatsoever, and they would get into whatever they wanted, and then the goody two-shoes type of kids. Because I had that once with an ex-boyfriend of yours where he was totally clean. He was an honor student.
Can you
student.
Whisper the name to me? No, he was getting down at these parties.
Right, no, but I'm saying he came over one time, and when I think we were in ninth grade, and I decided to get him high.
Oh, was that the time that the ambulance came, though?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So he ended up...
You guys have some situation.
Yeah, we had a situation. I ended up getting him laughing about something, and he's like, stop. And I'm like, I'm still fucking around.
The story's all about how funny John is.
He was killing.
That's the subtext. I was slaying that.
I didn't know that was how, because the ambulance really came. So he ended up. It started from you making him laugh.
He said, call the ambulance.
Yo, that's a good story for you.
Go down to the basement. You're going to be fine. Oh. No, call a fucking ambulance. And at this point,
oh my God.
My mom is.
I didn't know this backstory.
It woke my mom up. It woke up Donna or Diane, if you want to call her that.
Whatever. Hey, Donna.
So I'm like, shit. So I wish I could hear the tape of my call to
911
because I called.
Hello, 911. What's your emergency? I'm killing.
I put motherfuckers out.
I am smashing this room. Some motherfuckers can't handle the comedy.
Can't handle it.
I hope he listens. He'd be like, "What the? No, he has a good."
Dude, they said, "What's your emergency?" I was like, "My friend thinks he's having a heart attack, but he's not. He's fine."
He's 14.
Yeah, and they're like, "What's the problem?" Like, we're smoking weed, and he thinks he's having a heart attack. He's fine.
No. You said on the call you were smoking weed.
Yeah.
Well, he had to. He was calling them.
You guys are so like legit, like more progressive than where I grew up.
Wait, so I get to this party as the ambulance was wheeling the.
That's a different party.
That was a different one.
That was two. He did the same thing 2 years later.
That was when he did his callback. He killed it again.
Yeah, that was. I swore off comedy, but Wait. 2 years later, I came out and the same thing happened out. Again.
It's like you were like Eddie Murphy. People were begging you to come back.
No, this. So it was. Yeah, so all of a sudden, the ambulance showed up. The cops showed up. His parents, and this is a really good kid. And I was a kind of good kid, but not as good as him at all. So the cops.
John,
came.
I somehow don't believe you. I feel like you were straight A's. You were a model student.
You're under my spell maybe, right now.
You're under my maybe, spell.
I got you.
Who maybe dabbled in a little jazz cigarette once in a while or a cool Budweiser.
You know what, John? Sheila? You're like another Jewish mother right now. I fucking
Sheila.
Got you.
You
I got
me.
You. Yeah,
you
tricked I
tricked me.
You good. No, the cops came.
You were dealing
like,
coke.
I need to see...
Fucking blasting fentanyl
I
in
like
the veins.
That we went from one to the other. That's
well,
great.
If he has me under his spell, apparently he's evil.
There was listen. This is before.
Cocaine
I was like
was
a normal
invented.
Pill mill. I'll be honest. It was
John
a lot
was
on.
Like yeah. John was like a good kid who probably got A's and B's and had a heart attack over a C kind of dude. Probably. Right? Yeah. But then like the you were partied. Getting you were getting high. I
oh,
only found this
hell
out.
Yeah.
Through reconnecting to Siege,
no,
that y'all were—I did not know y'all were getting high all the time.
All
the
time, smoke weed in high school.
See, me neither. So
Siege,
I was an athlete.
So,
well, Siege, let me know. He's like, yeah, we'd go to the because I was a cheerleader. He's like, we'd go to the football games high as fuck, and he's like, we would just watch you guys. Like, oh my god, what idiots! I was like, right. Oh, if I thank God I didn't know people were looking at me and high so. Like I'm an idiot.
By the way, it was
insecure.
It was
I got school spirit.
Because I was real in, you know what I mean? I was like, I would love cheerleading back then. So it would have ruined my spirit.
During the football season, I didn't drink or smoke weed.
Wow.
Well, this degenerate.
I did
during
a lot.
Wrestling season? Good luck finding me not drunk.
I wrestled for a season,
yeah?
And my school wasn't great with it. And
I bet you quit once you came.
No. Dude, I splunked all over in the singlet. It was self-contained was the only good thing. But it made me, it endeared me to everybody else on the team. all the other like people that were really good.
Yeah.
Because I would get high with them, and they were like, couple's okay.
So here's what's crazy. So at our high school.
Couple's okay.
Couple's not at wrestling.
He's a good shit.
He's a good dude. Shit. He's a fun man to hang with.
Yeah. Our high school, so like I was all in football. Everything else I could care less about. I wrestled strictly because the wrestlers listen to heavy metal, the basketball players listen to hip hop, and I wasn't good at basketball, and I wasn't good at wrestling, but I fucking hated rap. So I was like, I guess I'm wrestling so I can hang with the metalheads.
How do you feel about being so close to a rapper?
I know. Well,
is it intimidating? Is it upsetting?
I would not have liked you in high school.
I didn't rap at all. Actually, I didn't rap at all until recently, and I still am getting a hard
time.
Actually,
though, I will tell you, but I didn't hate rap. I just hated the idea of it, that it was like, because I like Bone Thugs. Loved Bone Thugs. I loved.
Fuck yeah. We all did.
Naughty by Nature.
Bone Thugs are great. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Trash. There was,
bring them back. Bring them back.
There were all these, like, what the hell is it? Public Enemy that would like merge with metal bands like Public Enemy and Anthrax and stuff. And I was like, this is the future.
This should be the taste of our band that we're putting together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should, I think our band should be kind of like on a Wu-Tang kind of tip. Definitely East Coast.
East Coast.
Wu-Tang with a lot of rock, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With rock. Yeah, no, because rap and rock always comes out with great results together.
You know
no,
what,
the problem
John?
Is when they do it, when they do it, it's amazing, but nobody follows through and does like a second album. Remember Ice-T did a, he was with a band for a long
21
time.
21 Pilots, I feel like, finds the interesting intersection between rock and rap.
Yeah. But I'm not.
Sorry to become that person for a second, but like a VJ.
You know, it's a much reviled kind of genre, but Beastie Boys killed it.
Oh,
311 had their little peak.
I didn't like 311.
I know most people
I felt
didn't.
It.
Do you guys
listen? If we haven't established already, I smoked a lot of weed in the 90s.
So
and I was.
If I don't bring this band up, I think I'll get an angry email from a friend.
Well, Body
of mine.
Count was a great call. By
Body
the way.
Count was all, yeah, that's who it was. Oh
yeah,
my god,
that's the Ice-T band.
Would you? Do you guys know Bones?
I feel like
B-O-N-Z?
I do. Yeah,
they were the black metal band.
No,
they were. Awesome. Bones and Fishbone were great.
Fishbone's great.
And, but I'm really good friends with a guitar player from Bones, and he's from here. He's from Philly. He's a Philly dude. He was also...
Do you see how we're all getting more into the musical stuff?
Yeah.
You've been talking a lot about it, Mark, and I feel
Mark
like...
Mark Kay's a music guy.
That's what I'm saying, guys.
It's there's going to be
Sing
a...
Sing John.
You know, I have loved music my whole life, and I've never even tried to throw my hat in at all. But when I see
now's
talented people start to play, it feels like magic to me.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you just the way you can change a room with just picking up an instrument and just like letting it fly. I love it.
My favorite thing is to go to live music. In fact, Angie and I, when we had our honeymoon, we did it 3 years after we got married. But our honeymoon, we were like, what are we going to do? Like, what should we do? What should we do? And you'll like this, John. Angie goes, we should go to New Orleans and go and just see live music every day. Mm. And I'm like, yes. So then we went and looked up, and we decided to go to the Zydeco Festival.
Nice.
I knew nothing about Zydeco music, but she was like, you're going to love it. So we go down there and we go to see all this great music. And I just was having the best time of my life. And I wrote in, I used to blog about traveling and stuff. And I said, Zydeco music's like if a polka band fell down a flight of stairs. That's what it is. And now I'm obsessed with Zydeco music. I love it so much.
I've never heard of it.
It's like what you picture when you think of Cajun music, but it's different than Cajun music. But it's that, like, there's an accordion, there's a full band, there's a guy playing a bass, tub bass, there's a guy doing the spoons, there's a... And we befriended all these people at the festival, and In fact, I just asked you about in May if you wanted to go down. I'm going to go stay with one of the musicians.
Oh, that's awesome.
Instead of taking the hotel, John? I'm like, I'm staying at your place and we're going to the Abita Factory. He's going to take me to see live music. We're going to just spend a week. And of course, my wife hates me for it because she's going to be back home watching kids.
Oh, that's a
shame. I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it.
There's a great contextual element to it. Like whenever you're hearing Zydeco music, you know, because it's supposed to be, it's meant to be seen.
I want
to
hear this.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's music in general. You know, it's supposed to be this communal experience, especially live music, especially in New Orleans.
Now, the only reason why we have some static right now is because Mark's pulling out his phone to play us.
A little
clipperoony.
Little bit of. Hold on, I got
how do you say it? Zydeco?
Yeah. And then from here, maybe we should put on more New Orleans-based music. Play the Soul Rebels or something. Let's see what we got.
Angie is in love with Trombone Shorty. We went and saw them open for Hall & Oates. I'll tell you that story in 1 second. But first, don't mess with my toot toot.
Oh, my God. This would be so fun, actually. Yes, John.
Out in a.
John's bringing out the moves.
A giant field.
Oh my gosh.
Drinking beers and dancing. Like, that's all you do. People with long gray hair.
Well, you have to be a little drunk to really get down to this.
You get it?
I do get it, but I would have to be. I think, and I'm not even trying to be an asshole. Yeah, I feel like you'd have to
eat crazy food, drinking the beers, having a blast. It's polka falling down the steps.
It is. But yeah, you can get with it.
I loved it so much.
It's so good. And the Jazz Fest lineup this year, for anybody that's trying to get down to New Orleans,
well, we were
gonna is
do
insane.
Jazz Fest, but that's like, Jazz Fest has become like Lollapalooza, where it's like, yeah, good luck. You're not getting tickets. You're not getting
that's
hotels.
True. Well, they'll sell as many tickets. If you want to buy them, they'll sell them.
Yeah,
they don't even sell it out, which is a little bit. But
yeah, but it's also like you're not gonna really see the bands. It's so crowded.
Tequila has like a little bit of an ass aftertaste, like a little bit.
Say what you will about me, you shut your goddamn mouth about tequila, okay?
Tequila's strong.
It is.
Guys, newsflash: tequila is strong.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, yeah. I love saying obvious shit.
Kate is talking about the things you're afraid to say.
Nobody wants to say it right now, but we're a little bit polarized in this country, and tequila's pretty strong.
You know, the number one thing when I go on Facebook, the thing that makes me block people are people who are like, tequila, not that big a deal. I'm like, block! You're done! Get out of here.
All right, Guido.
Some
DeVito.
People pretend February is pretty mild, but I'm like, nah, it's pretty cold. It's cold if you're paying attention.
All right, I'm going to have
good
a little.
Pour. Thank you.
Ooh, thank you. We're getting more spicy tequila tonight. Musical episode, Invasion of Privacy.
If any of your listeners would like to come over to my house at 6 a.m. and help me get my kids ready for school, because I'm going to be tequila drunk. I get them ready every morning. And my oldest son, I think he doesn't know what's up, but he knows like when I had a long night, like if I, because a lot of times, you know, I'm doing gigs and then I drive home and it's like 4 or 5 in the morning and I'm getting in the bed and then I'm waking up at 6 to get them ready. And sometimes my older son just takes pity on me. Like he's just like, I'll help you out, Dad. And I'm just like, you're the best. You're the best. When I have a bad day and I'm all depressed and I hate myself and I hate my life, like he'll come over and be like, what's wrong, Dad? And I'm just like, you aww, give a shit? Like,
that's what a sweet kid.
He's the best. Today, he came home from school and he got in trouble yesterday and I didn't get home till real late. Well, real late to them. It was early for me. I got home, it was like 11 o'clock. My wife said he got in trouble. He had a mark on his calendar from his teacher. And I was like, oh, what'd he do? And like, apparently, he was in the cafeteria making these crazy sounds with a bunch of other kids. They were making noises. And a teacher came over and told him, you know, you got to stop. And then they kept doing it. And then they came over and go, you guys are all getting written up on your calendar. And a couple of the kids cried. A couple of them said they didn't do it. My son left the cafeteria when they were going to recess, went into his classroom because they were all not allowed to go to recess, pulled out his calendar, put it on the teacher's desk, and his teacher goes, why are you doing that? And he goes, well, you got to mark my calendar.
Aww.
I was making noises in the cafeteria, and I was getting written up. So he wrote the thing, and then Axel sat down at his desk, and while the other kids were at recess, he sat there and just did work, like homework. And he said, he goes, I'm glad the other kids are having fun, and it made me realize I'm not going to do that again. I was like, at first I go, you just became an adult. Like, that's an adult thing. And then I realized adults don't do that. The adults do not at all admit to their problem, admit to their wrongdoing.
And that's what we thought adults were going to be like when we were
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. And then Mark Kay said the funniest thing, because my wife was telling us this story, and he was over at the house, and he just goes, you know, I wish your son would go and teach the president how to act. That's the truth.
Amen.
And this could be any president. Let's not make this a political
statement.
I'm going
to make it about
right
Trump.
Now.
My amen was just for Trump.
That's who it should be for, yes. But it could be any
I really
president.
Liked Obama.
No, he was a good one.
Classy man.
liked him on the surface. Some of the stuff he did I didn't agree with. But, like, I didn't agree with it, and it was fun.
He didn't troll
That's
half
my problem.
The country.
Yeah, on
That's
Twitter.
My
right,
problem.
And call the press the enemy of the people.
I can't,
It's
other level shit.
I have a lot of friends who are, like, staunch Republicans.
Me too.
No, I do too, and I'm...
And I'm glad. And I don't want to be living
in that bubble. Yeah.
No, I think Trump is a certain level of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, this right now is an anti-Republican in that statement. It's
there's
he takes it to a whole other level of.
There's the thing is like, if he just stayed off of Twitter, and if he would just shut his mouth when it come to personal things, he wouldn't be having the hard time he's having, because some of the stuff he does is not that horrible. But when he does something bad, you can't. It's the same reason you want to see a bully get punched in the mouth.
It's just so strong, the tequila.
It's so funny that you say
By
that.
The way, Kate nearly just puked all over the floor. She took a sip.
I'm trying
of
to hang with the cool kids, and I can't keep
so
up.
It's so funny. You did that. Meanwhile, I'm holding this tequila like right under my face.
It's not even mixed.
And I'm getting a smell of it, and I'm going, it smells like Oreos.
Yeah, what? it's an enchanting smell. I'm holding one.
Oh,
as
my
well.
God.
It's like such good tequila.
So I'll tell you.
I'm ready
you,
to take a nap on this fucking carpet. I'm like, y'all take the wheel.
I'm done. Jesus. I have like two mornings a week where my wife gets up and goes to work before anybody else is awake. And those mornings, I wake the kids up, and I've got a 7-year-old.
Wait, you wake the kids up?
Yeah. I wake the kids up.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I've never woke up before my kids.
I've got two daughters, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. 4-year-old, as soon as I wake her up, goes, "Ugh, where's mom?"
It's
like,
my God,
oh, it's me. It's like, oh, can you get mom?
Both of my kids, whenever it's me.
They get so upset when it's me, and it's so hurtful. It's so because they're not trying to be mean. This is just what's in their heart when they're waking up, and they're like, "Ah, you get her?" I'm like, "She's at work. Like, just get her. I don't want to deal with you."
I've seen
now.
Your girls with you.
Mom.
They love him so freaking much.
When they get up, thank you. When they get some life in them, they like me. But first thing in the morning,
when they realize
like,
you're
don't.
The only
that's hilarious
person,
like, oh, Jesus,
and my boys. Love when I get to take them to school or pick them up. If it's like spend the day with me or spend the day with mommy, I'm a piece of shit. I could not be tossed off faster. Is there, mommy's not going to be home for how long? Is mom or pop coming over? Like, you're in charge? Oh, like they're just like, they don't want to spend long periods of time. They like spending short moments with me. They like when I drive them to school, I make them laugh. I, have a good time. the minute they realize, like, we got to spend more than 2 hours with Dad, with no one else, fuck.
I'll tell you, I realized recently, and this is something that I always knew, really, in the bottom of my soul, but I'm definitely the single dad in my situation.
So all three of us are second best.
Yeah, I'm fun. I'm fun for like a limited amount of time, you know, and then it's like.
Then it's.
Yeah, I mean.
But here's the thing, too, is if we talk to our others, if we talk to the others, they would probably say the same thing, that when they do something, if they were being honest. If they're being honest, I bet they would go, yeah, but you
Shane's
know what?
So
when you're
like
not around.
Shane's the best, but like I feel like I'm always, because I'm also like up in his grill. You know what I mean? Like
you're,
I'm like,
disciplinarian.
What you doing? Not even. No, it's more just like, you want to hang? What are you doing?
Oh, you're needy.
Well, yeah.
Needy mom.
Oh, you're needy. That like really made my whole soul flinch. I was like, oh, I am. I've always been needy. No, it
By
is.
The way. By the way, our whole vibe together is needy. I was looking, we were texting each other today, as we text every day, and any response we have to each other is just one affirmation back and forth.
Wait, me and you?
Yeah.
It's is like, it really?
Any text that we have is
even our group.
Ha 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 ha. Oh, you're the best.
Oh, that shit's real though.
And, oh yeah, and then we're,
well, when John and I fight
each other's time, we love.
When John and I fight though, it can be nasty. True.
No, the fights.
We don't normally fight, but when they do, we have a history, and like when we do, it's like two forces. It's like neither. It never feels good. Do you know what I mean? Like. It's always awful.
I'm a horrible person to fight with. I am.
What do you mean?
I am too.
Because the last thing I want to do is argue, because I have bad breaks. You know? It's like, if you're going to get me going, I don't want... It's going to be hard.
The last time we fought, I do remember the last thing
you
said.
If you get me going, I'm
going
to have a hard time stopping.
You just
so
went.
It's like, so it's going to be hard to instigate me, but once I'm gone, like, fuck it. The train left the
station. It went like the very last word. I think you were like, when it was kind of owed, you were just like, oh, fuck you, Kate.
Did you guys see the movie A Marriage Story?
Yes.
So I feel like I'm a lot like that dude in
really?
A Marriage Story, because I'm like, everyone, if you talk to anybody we know, they would probably go, oh, Mark, yeah, he's like this laid back, you know, stonery, whatever. But the second, it takes me a million years to get to the point. I have to go to 8. You get me all the way to 8. But if you get me to 8 to 10 is I'm going to say something horrible. I'm going to say something that may never be able to be mended. I'm going to say something that is the last thing you want to hear and the most horrible thing you want to hear. And then they'll go, well, that came out of nowhere. And it's like, well, no, there was a month of you building me to that point, and I took it. And then once you hit that 8, I'm going to do, like, I'm the guy who just wants a knockout in one punch. I'm going to take a beating for 6 rounds, but then I'm going to hit you once, and it's over.
So is that your upbringing?
Good to know.
Did you come from a house where, like, when people get upset, they'll just, there's no holds barred, and they'll say whatever?
So here's what's weird. So, like, I was the youngest by a lot. So, like, I have a brother who's 2 years older than me, but he hung out with kids older than him. So I didn't have a lot of friends my age. I hung out with my brother's friends who were actually older than him. All my cousins are much older than me. So I always hung out with a much more sophisticated, older group. So I was always trying to please them so they wouldn't kick me out of the group. Mm. You know, so I was always that guy. But when the time came that somebody pushed the buttons to a certain point, I would explode and go nuts. And then the bad thing was they would always laugh and think it was funny and cool that I was so vicious. So then that just kind of became my default, that when it's like, It's the same, like, you know, I always get asked to do roasts. I hate roasts. I hate the roast culture. I hate everything about roasts. It's the dumbest thing. Unless I really like you, like, I can tease you. I can tease you. And
but we don't go
cool.
hard on each other.
No, and it's and it's acceptable.
I like the idea of roasts if you're really tight with
yeah,
the person.
But, like, I did a roast for Sean Lynch's birthday, and there was a bunch of comics I've never even heard of, and they were trying to make digs at me. And it was like, I don't even know you. Like, you yeah. don't know me. How, why would you make that joke? And they were, like, making these jokes that were just so stupid. And then, like, I remember at one point the one kid just kept going on. And then I just, like, all right, got to shut this down. And I said something horrible. And everybody was like, wow, you didn't have to go that far. And I'm like, well, he couldn't stop.
What did you say?
No, I'm not repeating it.
Now I'm the bad guy. Yeah. I'm the bad guy.
I'm going to punch this wall now.
I think, well, I can relate to that because I think, too, when you're, like, still working on how to, like, embrace your power in general and, like, holding back shit, and then it just comes out in, like, a spurt. You know what yeah. I mean? But, like, it is, I don't know. I do. I have, like, someone? Blackout rages where I'm, like, I barely remember what I said in the explosion, and then people will tell me, I'm like, oh, I said that?
What? And once you let the beast out of the cage,
it's over.
I had a bad week.
Won't go back in.
Like, actually, it could have been when we had
oh my God.
Our little blow-up. I lost my shit at like three other people within the next couple of days because somebody You broke the dam, and somebody would say shit, and I just unloaded because I was like...
I was
to be fucked with.
My
right
cup
now.
Is full. Yeah. Time to fuck.
I was a real cunt that fight, though. I felt bad after that. I definitely said shit I didn't even mean. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was also like I had such a buildup of emotion at that point, and I think John just like got it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that was even like all to you at all. Like, I was just like, you it was like right when I had found CG, and like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think
took
I just
the brunt of a bigger thing. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, CG was the one that was like, you're going to apologize to Justin. So it just ended abruptly the last seconds that everyone was hearing because my memory card got filled up. And now it's just me and John Koppel right now because Mark can't make it today. So
just been knocking them off one by one.
Yeah, first Markay. And now, Rick Adana. But anyway, what we were in the middle of saying, so we're talking about like explosions and fighting. I was saying that when I was a cunt to you, that in that fight, CG was the one that was like, when I told him about it, he was like, he literally was like, you need to apologize to John. And I did. I became a better person. And I still am becoming a better person. I did just flip... a Boston cream croissant in John's car accidentally, but that doesn't really have anything to do with not being a good person. That's more of just...
Yeah, it doesn't make you a bad person, but it makes you a fucking idiot. It was great. So we stopped at this place, Pie and Plate in Ambler. Eventually,
amazing.
Maybe they'll be a sponsor. But you know what? Whether they give us a nickel, the fact remains, the place is it's fantastic.
The food's great.
So we got some real food, but then when Kate saw the eclairs come out, the
croissant, it's a croissant, a chocolate croissant eclair. I didn't know this existed.
The shit was crazy, and it was really good. So this place is like a half mile from my house, and Kate's got it, and while we're walking to the car, she's opening it, and she's like, oh, you gotta try, do you want to try this? Like, no, well... We'll get home in a minute. It's like, oh, it's so good. Oh, my goodness. And a second later, she's putting her seatbelt on and manages to spaz out to a 10. The Boston cream goes everywhere. She hit the little plastic case that she was holding it in. Cream is all over the car.
I was laughing so hard, though. I was snorting because I felt bad that I did that because it was John's car. It's all cleaned up, by the way. It was a fairly easy cleanup, but it was the spazziest thing because it's like, as an adult, you would think I'd be able to wait 3 minutes to bust it open, but it was so tasty and delicious. And then to just like flip it accidentally all over your car.
The lack of coordination coupled with how unnecessary it was that you had it open in the first place.
I was snorting laughing,
though.
More
than anything else, the fact that it was your favorite thing. It was in those, for those 10 seconds, you couldn't have been happier. So, of course, to see it land on the floor delighted me.
Still ate it. Just want to let everyone know.
By the way, I tried it. It was so good.
So good, yeah. I didn't let no car floor get in the way of that tasty, delicious treat. I may now have car aids, but what are you going to do?
Car aids.
Car aids. Everyone knows about it, John. Car aids.
I don't think that, yeah. I wasn't aware of it, but who knows what's
in my car.
No,
I did just make it up. But you just don't know. I mean, feet are all... Like, it landed on the floor. Well, I don't need to tell people what a gross bitch I am. It's fine. It was a fine... I picked it up. It didn't have any gross dirt on it. It was...
She already had tasted the eclair, so she knew the risks. And she just said, you know what? Fuck it. That's
so good.
A perfect eclair. I'm going in.
Fuck, it's good.
Yeah. A lot's happened since our last recording.
Well, John and I just visited CG, our friend, and... I thought it was a great hang, except that John brought Trivial Pursuit, which is like my least favorite game because I'm not good at like facts like that. Like, I'm not good at trivia. It's just like the panic of it and just knowing those. I did know like a couple things, but overall, it's just not my strong suit. And like, you and CG were having so much fun with it though. And then even the girl in there who was like watching the whole thing was better than me and like chiming in. And I was like, you know what? I stink. I kind of threw a tantrum like 5 minutes in.
Yeah, the
like,
guard started chiming in and she killed you in it. Siege was really excited that I brought the Trivial Pursuit, which made me feel good because I had brought it one time before. I was just going to ask you to bring that. And
he assumed I'd be as good as Cav was with the whole thing, I guess.
We weren't keeping score. We were just reading cards and answering trivia.
I just hate it.
Well, I mean, sorry. Some of us like learning.
Yeah, some of us.
Sorry.
I like learning other kinds of things. But that was still fun. I just had to kind of check out for 10 to 15 while y'all played.
You did a lot of talking for some of those.
Oh, my God.
Is that the way you check out?
I guess I was.
You were
talking
pretty involved.
That's
where
true.
I was sitting.
That's true.
Mostly just complaining, but you were still, it seemed like
just giving
you were
a lot of attitude through it. I was like, how much more time are we going to be playing this game? Just a quick question.
What a stupid ass question that was. Yeah, you were angry. It's all right.
I didn't mean to be. It just, that game really frustrates me.
It stuck out because I think of you as a very positive person and you weren't positive about
that. No,
game.
I was ready to murder.
Yeah, you were.
Because Trivial Pursuit makes me upset.
I know.
I'm not getting invited to couples game night, that's for sure.
So when we went to go visit Siege, today's the day after Valentine's Day. I don't know when it's going to air, but so Kate is like totally wearing a get fucked dress.
I always wear get fucked dresses there.
Dude, Kate looks hot. All right, let's
Thanks,
just be
John.
Honest. This is very form-fitting, red, like she's dressed up to get it.
I'm dressed up to get it for sure.
Yeah, so the eclair looks like somebody, after dropping the eclair, it looks like somebody splooged all over
it
her
does.
Dress.
It does look like that.
I've spent hours not trying not to splooge all over it, and then she Aww. Did it to herself with
friendship,
that eclair.
Friendship, friendship, na, 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 na. Yeah, it's not really all over, it's just like towards, it's like one spot, but I emotionally splooged all over John's car and on my dress. But for Valentine's Day, I got a rose. That was really cute.
Siege brought in a rose. It was adorable.
I loved it. Because like I was saying, when you've been celibate for years, you don't really normally get flowers unless you're giving out the poontang. So it was really, I don't know. I like beautiful, corny gestures like that. I say corny, but I don't really think it's corny. Like I was
you
like smelling
in
it
love.
In the car. Yeah. And I love CG.
Yeah, I think that you got upset when I made some remark about my lovemaking not being vigorous 100% of the time.
That's true.
You got really upset, I think, for my wife.
I want to think of you.
Sometimes I bring it. Sometimes you're not really.
Bring the hammer, man.
You don't bring the hammer every
bring
time.
Bring the hammer.
You have to.
Meg deserves the hammer.
She better never listen.
She'd be like, can you guys not talk about my sex life? Thank you.
I did it to myself and to her.
Yeah, you're the one who just brought it up. I wasn't going to bring it in. But like, no, look, I was getting... Some of it's just like fake mad. When we go in and it's me, you, and CG, it's also a wild experience in general with like a lot of emotions running through my system. Excitement, disbelief. Like the whole thing's really unreal. All of it. Like the fact that he's in there unfairly, in my opinion. But like that's one thing, is just we're literally going and it's a crazy situation to be there. And then also the fact that like three best friends from middle school and like the whole Schlurbert situation is funny that like, no, but do you know what I mean? It's like, it's so crazy that you were the one person that even like, I don't know. It's just a wild situation. So like I'm in there. I don't even know. Sometimes when I'm like throwing a fake temper tantrum, I think I'm just like feeling all these emotions and I don't even know how to express it. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's me, Koppel, and Siege. Like, this is crazy. This is so fun.
The weirdest part of it is when you leave and you realize that you just had a really good time in that mental institution that you're driving away from.
The best time.
Yeah.
For me, I always get sad leaving because I hate leaving him in there. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's gotten a little easier because I'm getting used to it, but I hate like that. I hate having the limited time. I hate, like, you know me, I would just cling to his legs. Just like, no, I'm not letting go. So it's hard. That's, I hate it. That my heart breaks when I have to walk away.
But I hope everybody had a lovely Valentine's Day. I hope that you guys, your visits with the ones that you love were unsupervised.
Mine will be unsupervised soon. That's all in motion. And I'm very excited to do dirty things. With him, that's to sweet. Him, etc.
You came over for Valentine's Day.
Yes, my Valentine's Day was with one of my top 20 best friends, John Koppel.
Damn right.
And even top 20 is nicer than what I was like top 22.
I mean, I said 20, 25. So yeah, I don't know.
John and I, we watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It was fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome.
DiCaprio, Pitt, Robbie. Give me a freaking break. Star power times three.
Yeah.
And I asked you. Tarantino
still got it. He's only doing one more movie, right?
That's it?
His whole thing was, because he's such a movie lover, he never liked when he dug into a director or writer that he loved, and then some of the shit was kind of weak. So he decided, I'm going to do 10 movies. They're all going to be bangers. And that was movie number 9.
Well, you never know. Maybe he'll be flexible and do more. Sometimes people say things and then something inspires them and then they need to go. Or maybe it'll be that's it.
Or maybe, I don't know exactly what his pledge was. Maybe he'll write movies and just not direct them. Because that's worked out well in the past.
Yeah. Quentin Tarantino, fan.
Huge fan.
We talked about this yesterday. I've seen some interviews, I guess, like when it first came out, where people like, they were like, what do you think about portraying violence in the way you do, Quentin? And like, I'm not saying that that's not a question we can't talk about or whatever, but to ask someone who's like so deep in that world and has had so much success, and I don't know, it felt corny the way they were coming at him with it, because he's a very smart person. And I think, I don't know, I'll hear your thoughts on it, but I just thought it was annoying to hear the interviewer saying that to him.
The interviewer who you're talking about, if it's the interview I'm thinking of, I think it was some lady, and she was coming from the angle of whether kids should be allowed to watch it. And he picked up on her shitty attitude right away. It's like, oh, sure. Yeah, go right ahead. She's like, why do you think it's appropriate for kids? And he just goes, because it's so cool. And her whole angle of why it's inappropriate and can teach kids violence. Because fuck that. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I was allowed to see whatever I wanted. And I don't think that it affected me in any way. I mean, if you teach your kid any kind of morality whatsoever, maybe they're born with some kind of compass, they're not going to think, okay, it's cool for me to hit people now because I saw some movie.
I don't know. And I don't know the right answer here. Do you know what I mean? Because I also don't want to be shitty and be like, fuck yeah, violence. And like somehow it is, you know, but we're a violent, not just violent, like we're animals, and we just the act of eating animals, for those of us who do, like I think a lot of times these movies are cathartic for people who are pent up and can't release that very animalistic human part. So it felt like a stupid question to ask him, because he doesn't feel to me like a negative, violent person. And he does it in such a way that's an art form and healing in many ways. Like Kill Bill felt healing in the way he portrayed that violence. Like she's this girl ninja getting her vengeance, but it didn't feel, I don't know. I'm pretty sensitive to that stuff, and his movies always feel pretty fucking awesome.
Well, the ideas of revenge and redemption are the oldest, most classic. They're timeless themes.
Django.
you leaned into that D.
Django. I mean, just,
yeah.
Really? This whole time, I've been doing the hard D and my hard D. That's something else we were talking about with CG. You both were like, yeah, Kate talks a lot about her dick.
I wouldn't be very comfortable with my partner, a lady, speaking about her dick.
I don't know if CG is, but he also,
he's definitely not. He hates it. For me, listen, it doesn't bother me, but I get it from him. I don't think I'd like it either.
I mean,
it's just disconcerting.
It's so funny.
But he's attracted to you. He's not attracted to dick.
Right. But that's why it's he knows I don't have a dick. He knows it's just me saying something crazy and that I don't. So like, I don't get why, like if he talked about his pussy, I'd be like, that's hysterical, but I'll chill with it. I will chill with it.
Okay.
Listen. I said that and then said it 10 more times in our hang. Like, true. I was like, all right, I'll chill. And then I was like, because sometimes, whatever. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I do take a lot of what he says in and make the curves and the changes.
It's funny for someone.
Although
with
my dick straight as an arrow.
you've got a lot of conviction to you, but when Seed says something, it gets right in your head.
It does, actually. Yeah. Because because he doesn't say something unless he really, really means it. And he's so, I don't know, he's been through a lot of shit and he knows me so well. And I feel like because of his situation and he's not, how do I say it? Because of his situation and what he's been through, I feel like if he's really picking up on something, it's real. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't just say it if it's not coming from like a real strong place. Because for the most part, like I... How do I say it? He gives me all the freedom in the world, as should most relationships. But so if he says something, it I do take it in.
Well, that's good.
He's my bestie.
He's your number one?
He's my number one.
That's good.
Yeah.
One should have a number one.
Yeah. Plus, like, I also have to say Shane, but that's, like, obvious. I always do that shit. Like, I can't just say CG's my number one because then I get this, like, guilt. Like, do you do that? Like, if you said Meg's your number one, do you also have to be, like, and same with Jules and Charlotte? Like, or is that just implied?
Jules and Charlotte are, like, my side pieces.
Oh, no, my God.
No, those are my daughters, my lovely daughters. No. I think Charlotte's probably my best friend and the other two. No, they're fine. I don't consider them, it's different. It's a different category.
Yeah, I guess. I take in what you say as well. Maybe not as directly as I do with CG, but I do.
I think the next time you get a gigantic eclair and you're less than a mile away from your destination, you'll probably keep it in the box.
Probably.
Unless you're it's like, it just looks so good.
No, I feel like I would now. If I had a half a mile to go and be like, I'm going to keep this thing with a shit ton of like, cream icing coming out of it.
All over it.
Dude, that was hysterical though. It really, all this fucking cream icing.
Just everywhere.
It was like a big splooge everywhere. You would call the croissant my dick almost. No. I can't, it's like, it almost becomes like a nervous habit to talk about my dick. I was trying to get CG to listen to the podcast and now I'm not. I'm like, you don't need to listen to that one.
Yeah, you don't need that.
And talk about my dick 20%. It's a great dick, you know. I don't know. I'm tired and I ate so much good food and my stomach is like my whole being right now is going into like processing food.
you're presenting me with like this. It's a situation that all fat guys get when they eat as much as the other person that they're hanging out with, and the other person just can't stop marveling about how much they ate. And I'm like, I could do it all over again. I could run it back right now.
That was nothing for you?
It was nothing.
Look, I scarfed it in, and then I also tanked a lot more of that croissant.
You did more of the croissant, more of the eclair thing.
But my body's still adjusting to, like, full-on appetite again. So, like, also, I do get a little sleepy after I eat in general. Like, after I have a good meal, I'm, like, a little cross-eyed, like, oh, I need a nap, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
God, it was such a good meal.
It was damn good. So you're going to be back at the psych ward tomorrow.
I'm going to see my baby tomorrow.
Wearing another sexy ass outfit?
Maybe. Yeah, I enjoy that for sure. Mm-hmm.
Does he remark about it? Does he say, like, is this just what you would have worn on a Saturday?
He loves it. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, as he should.
Yeah, no, I mean, he always remarks because, like, this is on par with what I wear. Like, Gloria, so I often go see Gloria after, and she's always like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I dress super slutty. You know what I mean? When I go there, it's like amazing. Like, I know it's crazy when I put it on, like, in the morning. Like, I know, and he knows too. Like, I don't walk in, like, it's just like, like, I wear, like, club attire.
You know what? I get it. If I tried to put on a really sexy outfit and then some dumpy asshole told me it's time to play Trivial Pursuit, I'd be like,
oh,
yo,
my God.
It's not,
you're
time
not
for
a dumpy
Trivial
asshole
Pursuit right now.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm trying to get fucked. No, I would have been down to play a game if I felt like I was competent at the game. But no, I just, like, look, the dude's my boyfriend. You know what I mean? Who else am I going to dress like this for? Do you know what I mean? So I want him to appreciate my body. I think I have a banging one, not to sound like an asshole, although maybe I do sound like an asshole there, but guess what? You're not supposed to say I have a banging body. That's like you can think that, but you're not supposed to say it, right?
I think that
I appreciate
you should be allowed to say it.
Yeah. It doesn't go to use. Do you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I like going in and feeling appreciated, and he appreciates it. You know, like, I like having his commentary. I didn't really get much today. Well, he's excited.
Stood up and twirled today.
Didn't you have me twirl? Or
I think I was kidding, and you got up and twirled, and I was surprised.
I was waiting for someone to say.
You was like kind of a feminist, and you're like, oh no, check this. Drink it in, gentlemen.
But that's, to me, part of my feminism is, like, I claim and own my body, and, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like having you and Siege appreciate my body doesn't feel, it didn't feel like I was getting catcalled. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it felt safe. I felt respected. Now, if I was wearing this and had someone be like, hey, blah, 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 you know, like, that would be a different story. But no, I was happy to have.
To be objectified by us.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it worked for us too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm getting my curves back. Because I had lost them for a bit.
I know. Don't
Sad
think
times.
I didn't notice.
Sad time. I feel like you didn't, or you did?
I know. Well, because you complained about it, so yeah, kind of
like,
you asked
me. I miss
me to
my
notice.
Titties.
Look at these. It's pathetic.
I lost mad weight, but no, it's back. So yeah, no. But I dress definitely. I dress to impress. I don't say the exact name because I just don't even. I've gotten real paranoid as to, like, who listens to these, and, like, I've had family members listen and make comments later. Like, anyone can obviously listen, right? Like, go ahead, listen, whatever, whether you like me, don't like me. But, like, don't then comment later. I don't know. Like, a negative, like, it's like, well, you cannot listen.
Sure. It's hard to try to entertain people while you're pulling back. Because it kind of flies in the face. It's like, well, I have to say something compelling.
I want
right
to say
now.
So much more shit than I'm able to say. To be honest, I want to talk about what I'm going to do to Siege.
Yeah, I think that's what you want to talk about.
I haven't had sex in so long. I could do a whole hour of, like, this is what's going to happen. It's just, it becomes like an erotic novel, essentially.
other than your current 3-4 year celibate streak that you're on, what's your longest slump?
This.
Other than this one.
Other than this? I think I've gone like a year or two before, maybe a year. But this, it just, I'm sad. And now I have like this hunky fucking dude. Like, I cannot wait to get railed.
Nice.
See, that's where all the emotion wants to go. Yeah, I can't wait.
Is he as enthusiastic as you are?
Yes, but he's not as, he doesn't communicate it quite the same way. What did he, today he did like some, because I always do this like hand motion like this, that, you know, so.
Like
no,
packing the mitt.
Yeah, no, he's obviously, yeah, packing the mitt. He's excited for it, but I'm definitely more, I'm just more of an impulsive person in general, but he's had to really learn patience there.
Yeah, no, I'm sure above anything else, he's learned patience.
He's had to, you know, so he's excited, but I probably am more excited. If I'm going to be really honest.
I'm excited,
too. He calls me the perv, like, you know, he calls me a perv and stuff, but like he's been calling me a perv since middle school because I guess I am a perv in that way.
But that's just you being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, how big is the porn industry in this country? Because everybody's a pervert.
Everyone's a perv. Like, we all have sexual organs, and it's linked to our life force. And, yeah, so I'm just more verbal about it. But I also think he doesn't want to fully go there because it'll make it work. Like, I think if he starts really going there and talking about it, you get antsier. So I think he's just trying to have willpower in that place.
There's an element of just trying to disconnect in general, I think.
Yeah.
Just to get through the time.
I'm sure it's not easy when I keep bringing the heat with my outfits. But yeah, he seems to appreciate it. He's like, wow. You know, he did like one time I came in the most ridiculous. I've come in ridiculous shit where you can like almost like Rihanna to the VMAs, like where you can just see like my full nipple through something. And I'm just like, what up?
You have stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And because, yes.
What would you wear this dress for other than to see Siege? And I'm not saying that it's ridiculous. You look great, but what kind of occasions?
Music videos, certain types of performing venues. I love fashion in that way. Like, I don't have a ton of money to put in that realm, but I still love pushing limits and embracing my body and my sexuality. And when I look at someone like Rihanna, who I just think is like ultimate goddess, I go, well, why can't I wear something like that? Like, I know I'm not Rihanna and that I'm not this like rich and famous singer, but I still go like, but I'm, you know, obviously, yeah, I know I can't wear those outfits just anywhere, but I love bringing them to visit CG. It's awesome. And plus he's just such a gentleman. I mean, I guess he has to be there, but like, it's just fun to just sit there like it ain't, like my nipples are an out.
It's got to be a great feeling to sit across the table from someone and feel like, yeah, you want this. That's the thing about being a guy.
I'm sure you have that, though, like with Meg. Like, doesn't she, like, ever want to tap that, like, hardcore? Like, give me some of that?
I don't know.
All right, let's go in. I'm going to go into your soul for a quick sec, John. Okay. Okay, so John likes to make, and we kind of talked about this today with, because both CG and John like to make self-deprecating jokes, as long with some of our other friends, but they're not here, so I won't bring them in. And then I'm the nerd that like stops it short and is like, no, you're beautiful. CG made fun. He's like, you're a flower. I've never called CG a flower, although I totally think he's a flower. And like,
he is.
But he is. But like, I do stop that short. But okay, so I just want to go into that real quick. So the only reason why I stop it short, because sometimes it is funny, is because I feel like you have such swag and you always have had that swag, but like you always make comments like you don't have it and it's just not fully true. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you are a good looking dude and you have fucking swag. You obviously have dick game and you know you've pulled really great hot puss in your past and currently, you know? So it's like, I don't know why. Like, of course you've had that energy of like someone wanting it. I just feel like you have a disconnect for some reason where you don't claim it. Maybe you think you'll be cocky or like a monster or something. But like, you obviously have that energetic pull.
Your is that turn. A question?
I don't know.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to respond. I think that's a great line to go out on.
John's like, I'll take that.
I will take that and I will consider it.
Yeah, thank I mean you. It though. But like, and yeah. And I can see you projecting sometimes the nerdier John. But it's not the full John. Like, I have a nerd within. You have a nerd within. That's what I was saying with Trivial Pursuit. I was like, I'm not a nerd. I was being such a bitch.
Oh, you fucking geeks knowing stuff.
Yeah. I get insecure and just make everyone else feel bad about being smart. What an asshole I am.
One of us got an answer. Like, oh, way to go, yeah. Loser.
Fuck you, losers. Meanwhile, I should be celebrating your intelligence. But, I suck at those games. But anyway.
As you get older, do you have less of a tolerance for really cocky people?
Depends on the type of cocky. Because I think I'm in some ways, am I cocky?
I think there's a like an unusual level of self-confidence and a weird self-confidence that goes to anyone that wants to perform.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't consider myself a particularly confident person, but the idea that tonight I'm going to get on a stage and everyone's going to have to be quiet while I'm holding a microphone is kind of ridiculous. You know, I think most people want nothing to do with that. So that's some weird confidence.
I don't think I know anyone who has like an asshole level of cocky confidence. I just don't. Like, I don't think I'd even really hang with some, because it would just be so unfun if it was this like confidence, that fake confidence that comes from an insecurity. I just couldn't picture really being around that person for an extreme amount of time. You know what I mean? Like, I just, so I don't.
But you see people like that.
I wonder who.
Well,
you don't want to obviously drop names. Can you think of a celebrity that like you feel like is in that realm?
Well, I mean, I don't really know.
I can.
Okay.
Kanye.
Yeah, well, Kanye also seems insane. But yeah, to be talking about being the voice of a generation, it's like, okay, yeah, give me a break. But I see people over the course of whether it's people that I work with or whatever else, it's like, I feel like maybe there's a little reaction to that that makes me say, it's like, you can't ever act the slightest bit smug. And not that it's, believe me, it comes very naturally to be self-deprecating. It's not an effort that's put in. But I will say, on the other side, the extremely confident people are kind of exhausting.
Yeah, once I believe you, I just feel like, I'm trying to think, I don't really hang out with anyone in that realm. And like, my work situation doesn't really lend to that either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in a typical office environment where I'd have to be around people. Do you know what I mean? In that way. So I'm sure I wouldn't like it because, yeah. But well,
there's plenty of delusional comics.
Yeah, but I don't fuck with them at all. At all. Like, I've kind of tapped out of the typical comedy game in a way that most comics haven't. Like, I just, after years of like barking and networking and being in so many, my hand dipped in all these different things, I hit a point where I had such a drain out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was so drained in so many different ways, not just from comedy, but some stuff I was going through, that like I had to separate myself from a lot of personalities that I felt, not just, it wasn't just that cocky confidence thing. It was just even like a meanness. Because you and I can fuck with each other. Like, I'm not saying I'm never a cunt or a bitch. Like, obviously, I know that about myself. But overall, I'm kind and I, like, love my friends and want us all to build each other up and, like, create things together and believe in each other, you know? So if I'm around someone that feels, and we kind of talked about this, me, you, and Mark, where it's like, you know, you really like someone that if they get something, you're like happy for them. You're not like, ah, how the fuck did they get it? Like, I really only want to be around people where we're all cheerleading each other, you know? Like, so, yeah, even in the comedy world, I kind of have at this point really protected myself around, because I just got drained from it and it really like fucking hurt being around people that I thought were friends and then.
Well, I feel like when most people are assholes in that world, they're projecting. And it's easy to get cynical when you're grinding and other people are doing well. And it's easy to make fun of somebody that's really putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
You know, when you're making a joke, whether it be in person or online, it's usually, a lot of the time at least, it can be pretty easy to mock that joke.
Yeah, I mean, when I put out Labia Game, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I got torn to shreds by certain people, you know? And that, in a sense, I was fair game, you know? But it what hurt there is I felt like I was putting myself out in a different way, you know? And it felt like, whether people liked it or not, that's fine. I never thought, I didn't think it was like the greatest piece of art ever. But people were offended that I even tried. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of what took me back, was like, oh, people thought I shouldn't even have the right to experiment and with that thing. Not just because of my race, but also because, like, well, you're not good enough yet. And, you know, and I was just like, that's so, like, it takes so long to get good at a craft. And I don't know, like, that really fucked me up, honestly, because I felt very judged and shut down. But once again, I think that's a reflection of a lot of people thinking there's one way to do something, and how we're supposed to be. I don't know. I'm still
digesting. I hate that
digesting.
Attitude so much.
It's so really dumb.
Well, it's just antithetical to any sort of like creativity.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get out of your depth a little bit, or else you're not going to grow and get better. And maybe you were a little bit out of your depth, but you were trying something. And, you know, if everybody's expected to stay in their box, then nobody's going to do anything creative. No, there are, I don't know. My older kid's 7 years old. There's nobody in her class that already knows that they're going to have a podcast or something, you know? There's going to be some, well, yeah. At this rate, probably 2/3 of the class is going to have a podcast when they grow up. But
hilarious.
Like, but, you know, some kids are going to put themselves out there, and that's cool. And from a cultural standpoint, I don't know if, you know, opinions vary pretty wildly, but I think it's very close-minded to say that one group of people can do this and one group of people can do that. Listen, if you're going to get up and say the Beastie Boys invented rap, then that person should be set straight, you know, because, okay, yeah, that's just incorrect. But they certainly had the right to go out and do it.
Yeah. I think everyone has the right to create art. It's what you said. It's like no one should be stuffed in a box, and no matter what, your color, your gender, I think people have the right to go in their soul and express what's there. And that doesn't mean everyone has to like it. And people definitely, there were some people who loved what I was doing and got it. And there were some people who hated it. And that's fine. I don't want to shut down the people who didn't like it, because that would be shutting down their truth. Once again, what shocked me, like if Justin Bieber puts out a song that I don't like, I would never be like, you should have never put that out because I don't like it. It's like you're allowed to not like something without thinking it shouldn't have ever been made. And that's kind of what, but once again, I am going to keep creating in that arena once I feel ready. But I just got very plugging away in the Manhattan comedy scene the way I was burnt me out in a certain way. And I know that by moving to the Philly area, some people might think, like, there's an attitude there of like, oh, if you're doing comedy anywhere else other than Manhattan and LA, you can't make it, or it's not as vigorous. And I just don't think that's right. I think any place where you live around the world, if you want to create and you have something to show, you can, quote unquote, make it anywhere. So,
yeah, especially in 2020.
Yeah. And especially when you're surrounded by other beautiful, creative, funny people, I think that only fuels the creative fires more. So here, right now, I'm surrounded by people that I have more energy to even want. Like, I have more desire now to create in a way that I didn't 6 months ago, because I get to do this now with other people.
Hell yeah.
Whoop, whoop. And I get to do whoop, whoop, and that's corny as fuck. But guess what? It's the U.S. I'm a free motherfucker. And I'm wearing my tight red Valentine's Day dress that looks like there's splooge on it, because I couldn't wait to eat my fucking croissant. And you know what? Maybe I won't still wait the next time. I'll just be a lot calmer at how I eat it. I don't know even how that flipped. It was like literally, it was like midair.
It was so spazzy. It was, and again, my favorite part was how happy you were. Just gushing over, it's like, John, this is fantastic. Really, this is
so good.
This is really something else. And the next thing I know, it just flew. Yeah.
Flying Boston cream croissant. Mm. Goddamn.
Goddamn.
That's sexy to me. That when we went into the, what was it called? Plate and pie or whatever?
Pie and plate.
Pie and plate. I was talking to desserts like they were fucking, like it was sex, right? I meant it. I was like, oh my fucking God, yes. I was like, what is that? Tell me. Like to the worker there. I was like, tell me what's, give me the ingredients.
Kate, so we were coming back from the institution and Kate called into Pie and Plate to make our order. And I told her when she got off, I felt like I was watching her make a crank anchor's call. She just had so many questions like, oh, is that good? I bet that's good. Like, all right, you sick fuck. I get
when
it. You're
I hung.
Hungry.
Yeah. Can you describe what the gravy texture is like, exactly. Please? Interesting. Ooh. And how steak does it melt pie. In your how does it melt in the mouth exactly? The guy's like, I'm feeling uncomfortable.
I could talk
I
to
feel
you
like
about
I have to wear a condom to take this order.
There's other customers watching me. I don't want to talk about texture.
And would you recommend the quiche? Is it a dirty quiche? Has it been bad?
Jesus.
That's why it's going to be great when CG's out. I feel like maybe I'll be calmer, or maybe not.
I think he's going to egg you on.
Really?
No, I don't. I wasn't saying that to be cheeky, but I thought about it for another second and a half. I'm like, nah, I don't think he will, actually.
I don't know. It's so hard to predict, but I am excited for those hangouts.
It's going to be great. It's what we need.
I know. I hope you're able to hang a lot. It's just CG and I showing up unannounced. That would not go over well.
Just whenever my wife and kids get out of town.
See, this will be really funny. Let's just stare scarily through the windows while they're eating dinner. Trust me, John's going to love it.
Now wave at John's four-year-old. She has a great sense of humor. Yeah. Wave to her. Sure.
Wink, wink. I'll be respectful. All right, let's see. I think we're good. Yes, we did almost 40 minutes.
Jesus.
We popping.
It's so much. It's so much Copple.
It's, no, this is great. Well, John's like a fucking brother to me. I mean, even though we're kind of sibling energy, I'm not necessarily in the top 10 best friends, but I'm getting there. This is what happens when you leave Upper Dublin for this long.
Keep plugging away.
I'm working on it, okay? Who are you closer with, me or CG?
Why are you doing that?
Oh, shit. Na-na-na-na-na. You can say tie.
It's a tie.
I feel like you love him more.
Will you stop?
You definitely did in middle school, but that's okay. You guys were like workout partners. Yeah, now.
We were
okay, I'm going to stick with tie forever. But I really hope I'm always a tie then. Because I don't ever want to feel like y'all are.
I just love you guys in different ways.
Okay. You love me in the way of like I smash desserts into your interior, your car interior. And you love Siege where you know he'll always protect you if you need protection.
He's my scariest friend. By the way,
I got offended when he said that today. I was like, I'm your scariest friend.
Listen, on paper, he blows you right out of the water.
Fuck.
Yeah. And Siege, and pretty much any guy I know, if they smash an eclair into the floor of my car, I don't know if I would have laughed that hard. I think it might have been upsetting. When you did it, it was hilarious.
Because I immediately felt awful, too, but I couldn't stop snort laughing because it was because the whole scene, my childlike happiness with the like up in the air flip, the whole thing. To get too mad at it when it was like a cartoon scene. It was right. Like, whoop, 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 whoop.
I know this sounds redundant to say how clumsy it was because obviously it's clumsy that you smash an eclair into the floor. But it was goofier than you might imagine.
It was one of my goofiest moments for sure. It's just like, and then like to look at the aftermath, it wasn't even that bad of a cleanup, but at first it looked bad.
Well, because it's icing. It's piles. Icing. It's like there's various piles of cream all over the place.
And John like has his life together. Like he's this like suburban dad. Like, so it's like this nicely kept car. So it was like, what? And he had already been like, okay, you're not going to wait 1 minute to eat that at home. Okay. And then it was like, whoop. And it was like, Just icing everywhere.
Globs of cream all over.
That
the
shit
car.
Was tasty as fuck. All right, John.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? What
you
are
can't
your shows?
Find me. Nobody can find me.
Add him on Facebook, John Koppel, COPPEL.
Oh,
PP.
PP. KOP.
Did I say C?
You
oh
did.
My God.
We're like siblings.
I can't, because I know how to spell your fucking name, but I've done that recently where I'll think, well, when we were doing one of our podcasts, I meant to say rings all over my fingers, and I said rings all over my hands. Like I have tens, like thousands of hands.
I think everybody understood.
I know, but like K-O, oh my God, K-O-P-P-E-L. I just got stuck in the P-P of it. So I need to just, let's shut this off really quick.
It's enough.
My brain is done.
It's time
I just started
down.
Podcasting again because I felt like I had to leave society for a bit. All right. John has a monthly show at Forest in Maine.
The last Wednesday of every month, correct.
And hopefully he'll be podcasting soon and maybe even uploading some of them on Invasion of Privacy under it if you want.
Hell yeah.
You have your own equipment, I think, actually.
I got
but you could
shit.
Always use mine if you want.
This
wanted.
Shit's better.
I've got some decent equipment. And then for me, y'all, let's see. I do have some shit to plug. March 29th is my second comedy album recording at the Stress Factory.
Yeah.
7 o'clock. You can get tickets on Stress Factory's website. So please come to that. And then April 11th, I'm at Soul Joel's Comedy Club in Royersford, PA. And then April 26th, I believe that's the hard date. Yeah, I believe this is the date, although I still have to kind of solidify it, but it's going to be CG Erickson's second fundraiser comedy show because the first one was a bust.
It was still fun.
Fun as fuck, but I didn't make any money.
No.
So we're going to have a nice big fundraiser here at Brick and Barrel in Maple Glen, PA. That's April 26th. I don't know the date yet. John's going to be on the show. His mom, Donna, will be in attendance. I'm sure she'll love that
she
I'm shouting her
five.
Out. I wish.
Yeah.
Donna, Donna, Donna. And then if you want a healing, kwolf27@gmail.com. And then I'm all up on that social media shit. Kate Wolf, the Kate Wolf. Find me. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Copster.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being my friend since we were tots. I got to end this so fast. I can't even speak anymore. All right, guys. Peace out.
Later.